Proverbs 23. Welcome back to the Wisdom Roundtable. With me today, Pastor Mike Bonomo from Refuge Long Beach. Welcome back, Mike.
Hey, it's great to hang with smart kids. Hope I learned something.
I think you may have picked the wrong table. Mike and I are working now on a recovery series through the book of John. I'm excited about that one. Also in the studio, Barry Waters is back from the land of Wales. Welcome back, Barry.
Hello. Thank you for having me back, sir.
Chapter 23 continues a section of Proverbs quite simply called The Sayings of the Wise. Now, these sayings are a little longer than the two-line Proverbs. The NIV separates the sayings out for you, but the numbering there was added. The sayings here have a common theme. Each one presents a point of decision with a path ahead of it. And the wisdom of each saying comes in looking down the path and seeing where it leads. A couple examples. The first saying brings us to the place when you sit to dine with a ruler, but it warns us to look out. Do not crave his delicacies, for that food is deceptive. Don't let wealth and power fool you, and don't give in to gluttony. And verse 4 gives us a similar warning. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Look down the road. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. So, as we're searching for wisdom here, I had us each pick out some proverbs, and funny enough, you guys both landed on the same verse. Must be something important for us. So, Barry, why don't you start us out?
Verse 12, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge.
Now, Barry, I have to tell you, when you say that, it sounds incredibly wise, but I have to clarify for the audience, it says your ears.
Yeah, Welsh people say ears. Ears.
Apply your ears to words of knowledge.
It's just a Welsh. I'm sorry. Anyway.
Go ahead. You can be Welsh.
So this command suggests that we should be determined to pursue wisdom. From my own experience, you cannot become wise if you are not dedicated to the pursuit of it. The word wisdom is used roughly about 46 times in 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs. That suggests to me the pursuit of wisdom seems to be awfully significant. Unfortunately, in today's culture, the pursuit of wisdom is given little value, and it's all about the pursuit of happiness. But happiness is fleeting, while true wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God, is eternal.
That's good. It says to pay attention to what you're pursuing and to what you value. So what do you think? Mike, you chose the same verse. What do you think verse 12 means by apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge?
Well, throughout the Proverbs, you read, incline your heart, incline your ear, give attention to my wisdom, listen to my sayings. It's repeated, so it's important. To apply your heart and ears to instruction and knowledge is to have the heart and the ears working together. To apply is to give attention, to work hard at something, to give it your all. The dictionary has this word struggle as a synonym. Now, I love skateboarding as a kid. I'd wipe out like 200 times, bleed and break bones, attempting to land just one trick for hours if I had to.
Nice.
I wouldn't stop till I was exhausted. I applied my heart to it with discipline. I wanted to go pro, so I'd listen and watch those guys intently, and I struggled through the fails, cuts and bruises and all that until I got it. Solomon says, listen to what I'm saying. I have some life experience under my belt. Don't wipe out through life and learn godly wisdom the hard way like me. Apply your heart, listen carefully.
I didn't know you skated, Mike.
Not anymore.
We need a board. I want to see some tricks right here in the studio.
Get ready to laugh.
It is actually funny, though, because I learned discipline through basketball. I used to go to the gym like 3 or 4 hours a day. I could shoot free throws for an hour straight, but I couldn't focus on homework for more than 10 minutes. but basketball actually taught me diligence and discipline. And the reason was that I valued it. So I invested it. It meant something to me. And I think that's how we tune our ears to something. We value it, so we pay attention to it. We have to value wisdom, understand that it affects our life. It affects our families, our kids, maybe the kids you don't even have yet, your work, your everything. So apply yourself to it because it's so incredibly valuable. So I chose a saying that follows that one nicely. It stands out from the rest, actually, in this chapter. These are words from a father to a son. Verse 15, my son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad indeed. I think that there is in the heart a God-given desire to make your dad proud. You watch any small child. Dad, look at me. Now, that desire has been twisted and scarred and wrecked 1,000 ways from Sunday by bad dads and broken relationships. So we have to redirect that need to make dad proud to our Father in heaven. But the need is still there. It's ingrained in the heart. Verse 15 tells you how to fulfill it. My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad indeed. My inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. A good dad wants his kid wise, not just brainy wisdom, but from the heart, emotions and desires that are governed by wisdom. When I see one of my kids make a good decision, when one of them speaks truth, man, it just feels good inside. And this father goes on. He tells his kids how to do it. Do not let your heart envy sinners. Kid, if you want to keep your heart wise, you got to guard it. Don't let envy get in. If you see what sinners have, don't want it. Back in 17, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. You got to fill your heart with zeal for God. That zeal will keep the envy out. When you have God, a sinner's wealth just isn't appealing. 18 says, there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Daughter, son, fix your hope on the future. Look ahead. Sinners' goods don't last, but God is forever. And I think 19 holds the key. Listen, my son, and be wise, and set your heart on the right path. Wisdom is more than just brains. It's about the heart, guarding your heart, setting your heart on the right path. Choose your path. Don't choose steps. Choose paths and know the destination and set your heart to it. We follow our hearts by nature. The trick is to set your heart on the right path. Jesus told us how. Store up treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. After that, the chapter moves back to examining more paths. Barry, you've got another one for us, so why don't you take us to verse 22.
So yeah, in verse 22, it says, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. So this section, again, is partially talking about wisdom. But before I go on to talk about that, I want to say that it is so important for young people to listen to the advice of godly parents. I know I wish I had. I honestly could have saved myself and my parents a whole load of heartache if I had. Your parents have so much wisdom you can gain from them. I believe that learning their wisdom is genuinely one of the best ways you can fulfill the command to honor them.
Amen.
But moving on, just listen to this beautiful bit of fatherly advice in verse 23. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. There must be a deliberate effort to listen for wisdom. It says buy the truth, which means there is a cost. When you are pursuing wisdom, you should always have the mentality that you are willing to gain wisdom, but gain it at a cost. Moving on to verse 24, it says, the father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. For me, one of the reasons I pursue godly wisdom is it makes my parents glad. They know that the wisdom from God will lead me down a good path, a path of righteousness. Having a son who's giving his all to lead a life of righteousness, I feel is a fitting reward for those who gave me life and a wonderful upbringing.
Amen. Through the Proverbs, we see the writer saying, my son, my child, listen to this. Catch this. You've got to get this. Now, you may not have godly parents to impart wisdom to you that way, and that's okay. If you're a believer, you have a Father in heaven. So hear these words directly from your Heavenly Father's heart to yours.
Yeah, that's really important. And you have the last saying, Mike. Take us to verse 29.
I get to have the last word. Awesome. Verse 29 starts out, who's got problems, sorrow, arguments, injuries, weary eyes? He says, those who linger long at the wine, who go searching for a drink. Proverbs 20 says, alcohol leads an unwise person astray. It mocks a man. It brawls with him, impairs his judgment, and turns him into a mocker and a brawler. Now, there's a strong appeal to the senses because it promises pleasure, but it's temporary. He says, don't be mesmerized by its lure. Verse 32, it bites like a serpent. It stings like a viper. When the occasional social drink turns to excess and abuse, it eventually bites, it stings, and it poisons its victims.
Yeah, definitely.
Back in 27, the adulteress traps her prey. In chapter 9, we saw a man get lured to his own deathbed with a false promise of pleasure. Mm. Here, alcohol mocks its victim, leading him into shackles of addiction that are impossible to break without help. As a counselor in recovery, I know the dysfunction, the suffering, and the death that alcoholism can bring without discrimination. Well, I'll talk more about that in our Recovery Through the Word series. But now the last few verses explain that your vision, your emotions, and your thoughts will become twisted and deceive you. The sign that reads wine and spirits doesn't refer to good spirits. There's a danger in yielding yourself over to substances that alter your mind, making you dull to God's Holy Spirit. The writer paints this picture of being unsteady and vulnerable. Verse 35 describes the cycle of the enslaved alcoholic's path. It only leads to seeking the next drink.
Yeah, that becomes the whole life. And Mike, I know your story. I know you were in that pit. Your life is now dedicated to getting people out of it. We're going to tell your story in our recovery series coming soon. Pray for that. Watch for that. But what would you say now to someone who's in that pit right now listening?
I'd say look up. There's hope. Mm. Jesus said this, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink."
Oh, man, yeah.
He brings satisfaction to the thirsty soul who seeks him. So take a look at your path. Where is it leading? The wisdom from Proverbs can be applied to any situation, and they work. Pray and read a chapter a day. Call on a friend or a pastor to help you navigate your way back to the right path of freedom found only in Jesus.
That's good. Man, I'm feeling wiser. Everybody, take a read on Proverbs 23. Enjoy, dig in, and strike up a discussion on wisdom with somebody. Walk with the wise and grow wise today. Mike, Barry, thanks for joining me here. I will see the rest of you in chapter 24.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.
I'll feed it to him. Having a son who is giving his all to lead a righteous life, I feel, is a fitting reward to those who gave me life.
That wasn't bad.
Okay.
Oh, I thought he was really going to
do it. No, that was your lead.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry.
I'm actually going to copy over his because I think I did it really well.
Yeah. You did a better job of definitely. Having a Welsh accent.
Definitely. Yeah, it was way better.
Okay. Are we doing that again or what?
Shall I do that? I'll do the lead. I'll do the lead in. I'll do the...